Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's the Burt Show.
We believe that Tim Sanders, the dude that threw the ham that hit Paula Deen in the face, has bailed on us.
Oh, no.
He was all set to talk yesterday, but for whatever reason this morning,
he's not talking.
Maybe the Hosea people got to him.
He's not picking up. Doesn't want to discuss.
Yeah, I bet he's at the end zone of Meadowlands with Jimmy Hoffa. Listen, you will not talk about what you did to Paula Deen. Do you understand me? And then next thing you know, he's in the trunk of a car being driven to New Jersey.
And they've pinned him down with Smithfield hams.
Right. Some emailed yesterday and said that Paula didn't get hit at all.
Oh, really? Come on.
Jeff is one of them.
Oh, I didn't know it was being thrown.
That was her.
No, it wasn't her saying, oh, my God.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was somebody else.
But it's that boom.
It's hitting her microphone. It's brushing her microphone on her sweater,
okay.
Javi. It goes by. It brushes her nose.
Joshy.
Maybe.
I think it did because you can see her head flinch.
Yeah,
I
because
think so too.
You would flinch too if something went boom right by your face that close. And I think she got startled. And then I think the way, you know, like to have a big reaction like that, you're like, it hit me in the nose. And it didn't. It brushed her nose.
Well, brushing and hitting is really the same thing.
Well,
when you're getting hit by a ham,
yeah.
It's flying at you and you don't know it's coming.
Here's what she said.
And you're her age, you're getting hit by a ham.
And he raised the ham up, but I thought he was going to pass it on down the line. And I turned around to take another ham off the truck and turned around and all of a sudden this ham that weighed 200 pounds
200.
hit me
joking.
Full on into the face and about knocked me cuckoo. But I'm fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it knocks some sense into my head.
Okay, now I will say she's exaggerating there.
A lot.
I love me some Paula Deen.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
she is
Southern.
Exaggerating.
Guess what?
Right
Southern
there.
People tell big fish stories.
Okay, that I can
full
buy. Because it didn't full on hit her in the face. It was a graze. Says, I was listening to the show today and found something strange about the fact that someone can get hit in the nose with a full ham and not get injured or hit in the face for that fact. And not have a busted lip or bruise on the face. So I took a look at the video, and then he slowed it down. And just before he hit her in the face, you'll see that the ham really just brushes her chest, then hits her leg, passing clear away from her face. The ham does not hit her in the face. It's a shame she had to lie about it.
She got startled.
Give her a break.
Why is it okay
but
for her to lie?
She lie? It's Paula
She's
Deen.
Not
Paula
lying.
Deen
hold
she
on.
Got hit, brushed, hit, whatever. She got hit with a ham.
Jen Hobby.
Leave Paula Deen alone.
If this was not Paula Deen and it was Michael Lohan.
Well, he's ridiculous. He would do it for publicity.
Did he get
it? But Paula Deen doesn't have to do it for publicity.
Hold on. All my question is, if this is not Paula Deen and this is Michael Lohan or John Gosselin, and that video happened, would you still be going, leave Michael alone. A ham brushing by your nose is just as bad.
Well, I think that anybody
it's
could be
yes
startled
no,
by it.
A yes or no question.
Yes.
You liar.
Because I love Paula Deen.
It is a brush or a graze.
I love Paula Deen, though. Leave her alone.
It's not a shot in the face. Good morning.
It is. She's 75 years old.
Hey, Tracy, good morning.
She's
you're on Q100. Okay, no, you're not.
Oh.
Now you are.
Now I am. Okay. Good morning, everybody. And, Jen, I got to say, I love you first up, okay? But being brushed and being hit are not the same thing. My 16-year-old got nailed in the nose by a softball being hit. She didn't get brushed in the nose. She got hit in the nose. There's a distinct difference.
I think it's very evident. It's Paula Deen you're talking about, so it does change
things. When you're an older person, anything is...
I love Paula Deen, but where is she from anyway? Because she kind of gets on my nerve. That accent's just
Stop.
A little...
Stop. We can't have that.
Oh, she's sweet.
Yeah, leave Paula Deen alone.
You guys,
she's doing something good. She's doing something for charity. Somebody throws a ham at her. She gets startled. It hurts her. She says she got hit in the face with a ham. Leave her alone.
Why is it? I'm
because
just,
she's older and she gets a pass because she's Southern and sweet and cute and can cook really
exactly.
well. Better
you
than
just
I can.
Need
Thank
to
you, Wendy.
You just need to acknowledge that she did not get hit, quote, full on in the face, as she said, numerous times.
Jen, I think you need to make one of those videos, one of those Leave Paula Alone videos today and post it on your Facebook page.
Okay. And you know what? If Paula ever came in studio, I would call her out on the same thing. I'd say, Paula, come on. You just got startled, right? You just got startled a little bit. You got a little scared, and you may have overreacted. Draw some attention to the charity. That's great. I think that's awesome.
It's
Paula
Deen, though, man. Give her a break. She gets a break. It's Paula
Deen,
dude.
I'm giving her the break. I just want the acknowledgement that the video, the CBS Atlanta video, that is the full long shot.
You're not cleansing your
does
karma.
Does not show Abe Ham hitting Paula in the face.
It's not a full-on hit to the face. It's a brush.
This could help you cleanse your karma, Jeff Dollar.
I question whether it even brushed her face. I think she just got scared.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Well, Jeff, why do you have to be such an ass?
Exactly.
How am I being an ass?
Thank you.
No, I mean, you asked for this help with your karma the first thing in the morning, and have you not ever maybe stretched the truth a little bit or maybe made things seem a little more dramatic than what they are, but all of a sudden it's Paula Deen? Why are you choosing her to come down on?
Okay, you know what? That's an interesting point. Let's say that you guys are sitting at home watching the news, and you see a video of me. And I had gone down to Hosea Feed the Hungry, and next thing you know, I'm holding my lip, and I'm talking about how I got hit full on with a ham, and all this stuff, and then you see that video.
Everything that's going on in the world today, can you not pick something better than to pick on Paula Deen?
Do I not get, and I'm asking the people in this room, a lifetime, Bert.
You're not listening to his argument.
You're 75 years old and likable.
You're not hearing his argument. Paula Deen has built up so much likable points that when she exaggerates in a story that she's obviously exaggerating about, you respectfully don't really call her out on it. You, however.
And she's a woman, too. There's a difference.
You lost me.
She's an older female
that she has worked to create, and it's like all of a sudden Jeff Dollar wants to come into the picture and say, wow, I've got dirt on Paula Deen. I think I'll destroy that.
I don't have dirt. The tape don't lie, brother. She is on tape getting barely brushed by a ham. It's all I'm saying.
But it's not like she's lying.
And no doubt all of us have. We've been knocked down playing football or something. We made it so bad, or somebody mentioned the fish story earlier.
Yeah.
And, Without a doubt.
We stretched the truth a little bit. And you've done the same thing. Why is Paula Deen? What's the purpose of your mission here?
This is such a ridiculous conversation. I have to end it eventually.
Acknowledge the fact that Paula Deen stretched the truth.
Some people get a waiver, a respect waiver.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's obvious. She didn't get pounded in the face like she explained.
Thank you,
Bert. Which is a good thing.
However, if that's the way she wants to describe it, she's Paula Deen, I'm cool with it.
And I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, before you just accept that and go on with your life, it's time for you to question everything you know that's good. And Paula Deen is one of those things.
Look, this is the holiday season.
This is a time for love and Jesus.
Everybody hates you.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bird Show.
All right, Wendy, this is going to be really cool for Wendy this weekend. Yeah. I'm not sure she's viewing it that way at this point, that it's going to be a cool weekend.
Well, yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I guess it's a tradition being passed down to me, but I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, and my mom, I said sprung it on me, because it's 3 weeks
ago. A month ago. Sprung it on her a month ago.
3 weeks is not a lot of time for me, because I don't go to the grocery store. I don't like shopping. I don't even like cooking. I don't own mixing bowls. I don't own anything to measure anything. I use the toaster oven or the oven that just pop something in.
So do you go out to dinner every night? Like, are you heading to Taco Mac every night?
Either that, or I just make something that's really easy.
Frozen.
Like,
she's a hot pocketer.
Like a salad. Like, you can make a salad in 2 seconds. You just pour the lettuce that's already prepackaged into a bowl and throw some dressing on it. That's easy. But, or the George Foreman, you just put the chicken on the thing and it cooks for you. But, I mean, nothing mixing-wise or having to do multiple ingredients. I don't do.
So the extent of your cooking is the George Foreman grill?
Yes.
Okay.
I use that almost every day.
How long would it take to cook a turkey on a George Foreman?
4 years.
Right. Well, if you get those little turkey breasts, I mean, five minutes.
They want you, has your mom set up parameters like, look, it needs to be a 12-pound turkey, we need to have stuffing there, we need to have green beans. Are you doing everything yourself?
I'm doing everything myself. She's going to, there's like one dish that my mom just normally makes every year by herself, and it's just her stuffing that she has. So I think that's all she's making.
Good. But mom's got the stuffing.
One stuffing. We have more than one stuffing. So I'm going to be doing a stuffing, but just not that
one.
Wow.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had the turkey. I bought the turkey on Sunday and forgot to put it in the refrigerator. So I put it in the refrigerator on Monday.
But you put it in the freezer, right?
I put it in the freezer when I got home, but then I put it in the refrigerator. All right. So that's taken care of. That's thawing, I guess. And then all the ingredients are, everything else for my dishes are sitting on my counter. So I'm all set.
Okay.
Okay.
Just got to start putting it together today, right?
I do. Yeah, I guess.
This to me is seriously like just getting your driver's permit, and then somebody from NASCAR says to you, look, you're driving at Atlanta Motor Speedway on Saturday in the big race. I mean, there's no in between for you.
But I don't think anybody that hosts Thanksgiving for the first time is ever truly prepared. I mean, unless you're like a Jen Hobby foodie. Or Tracy Kenny foodie.
But even I think you're still, because it's a different level.
But the average person,
even
I think
then,
that
it's a lot of food to prepare because you're preparing for multiple people. And you're going to need some help.
And if you're a foodie, if you're like a Food Network watcher, whatever, like if you're Wendy, you just want to make sure the turkey's cooked all the way through and that the gravy isn't too runny and the potatoes aren't
lumpy. Because everybody's
going
to understand.
If you're Jen, then that's when you want to have like the
extra
more gourmet
fancy stuff,
the presentation has to be right. That's pressure, no matter how good you are.
I think the level of success for your Thanksgiving is this. It actually, you won't be able to tell if it's a successful Thanksgiving till about 4 hours after dinner when everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. If you start to get calls one by one from people that are sick and are going to the hospital, then you know you didn't cook the turkey all the way through. At this point, I would sacrifice taste for safety.
Well, I just want it to look good. I mean, I don't care how it tastes. You could fake it. But I just want it to look nice.
Well, and Jen, I wanted to say that she told us yesterday her mom's going to be there with her, helping her prepare.
Oh, good.
So she's not going to be in the kitchen by herself.
Well, I think the hardest part, honestly, when I first did Thanksgiving for my family and extended family and everything else, is the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. Figuring out the space in your oven and where the racks need to be and what time all the casseroles need to go in, what time you need to get the turkey in, what time the turkey's going to come out and make sure, because it's all got to come out and be hot at the same time. I think that's probably the most challenging, because you can follow the recipes and measure it out and put it all together in this casserole and that one and whatever, but to actually get it all to come out ready at the same time, I think is the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. Here comes some advice calls for you. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey, Wendy is cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the very first time for her family. She doesn't cook at all, so what can you tell her?
Right. The first time I ever did a turkey, the Reynolds oven bags are really easy and really good.
Reynolds oven bag?
Yeah, the oven bag.
So it keeps it all juicy.
Oh, okay.
And also, if people do get sick, they can get sick right in the oven bag.
Right.
And it makes cleanup easier when all is said and done.
Much like an airline.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie, good morning. You're on Q100.
I'm just going to tell Wendy to make sure our turkey has a pop-up timer.
That pop-up timer is really important. Mm-hmm.
We got one of those. Crucial. I bought one of those because I didn't have one of those either.
Good stuff.
That's all set.
Okay.
This is like my mom's holiday. This is my mom's Super Bowl because she loves to cook. So this is her dinner. So the fact that she's passing it down to me is kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal because, awesome. you're going to learn and then allegedly, you know, you'll pass it down to your kids and they'll pass it down to their kids. And this is the way that grandma always gets to stay alive, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Their legacy.
Well, I found it fascinating yesterday when Wendy and I were talking about how she is clueless going into this, and I said, well, did you never watch your mom do this when you were a kid? And she said, not at all, because, you know, at least because I said, well, my experience was that I was there and helping out as I grew up with mom doing all these things, and so I just found, you know, so Wendy's going in this completely cold turkey.
I mean, I didn't even know I had to clean the turkey. I mean, I didn't know you had to get in there,
get
and
the gizzards out, of all the like pieces, parts.
She don't
want to
even touch the turkey.
Yeah, she doesn't want to do that.
Oh, you got to reach your hand in there. You got to get
nasty.
In there with it.
Yeah,
you
got to
salt the turkey. You got to salt it.
They got to prepackage that stuff with nothing in it.
You
got to
season it in there.
Thank you.
You gotta like reach on up in there.
No.
And the other, here's a little tidbit for you. My mom always did this, is she would chop up an apple.
Okay.
And put the pieces of the apple inside the turkey because it keeps it moist in there.
Don't you have
keeps
to?
Keeps the turkey from drying out.
But isn't that like an advanced move right there? Like, shouldn't Wendy just be doing the basics here?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
That's not advanced. Chop up an apple, put it in there.
Okay, then I got to go buy apples.
She didn't even know to take the bag out.
Yeah, that's advanced, Jen.
All right.
We really, I mean, I think you have to also set the expectation low for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not going to be your mom's Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's not going to taste like that. It's not going to, it can't.
And nobody expects it to.
And nobody expects it to. It doesn't have to be perfect. Yeah. Set the bar lower for yourself.
I just want something to taste good. One dish has got to taste good.
If people don't throw up and they remain healthy for 24 hours afterwards, you've won.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So what have you brought in? Rundy brought in one cooked dish for us this morning.
It smells good.
This is a casserole that we have every year at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So it's a vegetable casserole, and it has the frozen vegetables. It has cream soup in it, shredded cheese, sour cream, and the French fried onions. Mm. And then you put a little bit of bacon bit on the top.
Yeah.
And you just cook it. I mean, in the oven.
Can we taste?
Yeah, taste it. I don't know. I hope
I know
it's warm
listeners
enough.
Are like, I'm just eating breakfast, but where is lunchtime for us?
All right. Do you want us to be honest or do you want us to?
Oh, honest, yes, because I don't even know if it's warm enough.
It's missing a little something. Like, it needs some kind of flavoring. I don't know if it's salt
or. Yeah, it's missing a little something called flavor.
It's a little bland.
Okay.
But you know what? It won't matter. It won't matter on Thanksgiving Day.
I mean,
because, again, you're not looking for perfection here. I mean, I think it's doable. It's just not. It doesn't have a lot of flavor to it.
It definitely needs salt.
Okay.
But everybody can. You can put salt on the table.
Mm-hmm.
People can add their own salt and pepper.
Put a lot of salt on the table.
But it's warm.
Well, at least that's a good thing.
No, but
the cheese is melted. And
you know what? It's the
but
fork.
But it's warm as there, and everything's. I mean, seriously.
The fork works.
Yeah, the fork is fine.
Yeah.
It slid right into my and out of my mouth.
That was good. I think it's great. I think it's fine. Because I agree with them that there's not a lot of taste to it. But some, I mean, I agree that a lot of times with salt and pepper, like I can't stand things that are over salted, where my mother, on the other hand, would take the entire container and dump it on her food. You know what I'm saying? So.
Now, a whole bunch of these calls are coming in wanting to give you advice. I'm not sure which ones to take, though, because some of them seem kind of advanced to me. Like, Terry wanted to tell you to cook the turkey overnight, and that seems like a pretty advanced move, no?
That's take a good
that?
Move.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah,
that's what
my mom did.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey. My mom used to cook the turkey overnight years ago, and she just puts it on really low and cook it all night long, and then you have all morning Thursday to do all of your casseroles and everything.
So at what temperature are you supposed to cook that at if
really
it's cooking all
low,
night?
Like 300 or 250 even.
That's what my mom did, and that way the oven's free on Thanksgiving Day for everything else.
And then how do you keep the turkey hot between the time you take it out of the oven and the time you have to serve it to family?
A lot of times it's not. A lot of times the turkey isn't warm by the time you serve it, and it's okay. You can tent it with some aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's okay to serve cold turkeys okay?
Mm-hmm. You can tent it with some aluminum foil, and then also once your casseroles and stuff come out, you can put the turkey back in for maybe 30 minutes to rewarm it.
Okay. Hey, Angela, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell Wendy that the caller before that talked about those oven bags was so right on. Those things are absolutely amazing.
Oven bags.
But what you can do is about 10 minutes before you serve the turkey, turn the turkey upside down in that bag so all the juices flow back into like the breast.
That's a
good trick.
That's a good idea.
It's a great thought.
And another thing to make your turkey flavorful is you can stuff it with like thyme and lemons and oranges.
Kitten.
What? What the hell is the matter with you?
What?
Do you understand what she's saying though? Like different flavor inside of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing, so all this is going to be great advice, and my turkey will just be a fruit turkey. It's just going to have everything stuffed in. There's going to be apples, oranges, lemons.
I think for a first go-around, I think this casserole, I mean,
it's great.
I think it's not great.
Job. Give her honest advice.
For a first.
No, I think it's great.
Again, the bar is set lower, Jeff. I mean, forget about other casseroles you had. Forget about the food you ate at Canoe the other night. This is her very first casserole.
And it's a casserole.
I ate the whole thing.
It's the one that her family makes every year, too.
And I'm going to be expecting more salt on it. I'll put some seasoning on it.
See, that was my debate yesterday, and I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about this. Should she continue the same foods that have been in the family for years that they already know what it tastes like, or should she try something entirely new to where they have no comparison?
You got to put at least one new thing in there.
I was going to say maybe one new thing, but I think for the most part, people expect what the family usually has.
So maybe start your own tradition with one dish, but for the most part, keep it in the family.
Yeah, because she has the recipes for everything.
Yeah.
So I think when you start searching for this dish that you want to do yourself, that may be adding extra stress. Just keep it as simple as possible because you're going to have a breakdown on Thanksgiving Day for a little bit. Expect that you're going to be fine.
Stressed out.
You're going to do great. Yeah.
And Dawn is here with just a safety net. That's all I'm saying. Just as a safety net. Go ahead, Dawn.
Hi. Love your show, guys.
Thank you.
In case the turkey doesn't turn out right, go to Popeye's today and get a Cajun fried deep turkey.
I've already got turkey breast meat. I mean, sandwiches are the last resort.
Are you're not going to make turkey? Or you're using that?
Oh yeah. We're smoking two and deep frying one too. But just in case this is our first one, I thought that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, Popeye's deep fried.
Cade, the deep. I've heard that from more than one person. That Popeye's
put it in a room
Cajun.
Where you don't even. There's not even a possibility unless everything goes to crap.
Everything else fails,
and then Popeye's will save you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
Get it? The Burt Show.
There's a big football game this weekend between UGA and them.
Georgia Tech
is having an outstanding season.
Hey, fantastic season. What's Georgia Tech ranked?
They're ranked number 7 right now in the country. It's a phenomenal year for them.
Top 10 team.
And what's Georgia UGA? Ranked?
Georgia is not ranked in the top 25 this year.
How come?
Just wanted you
They're
to
having
say
a bad
it.
Year, man. They're having a bad year.
Just wanted you to say it out loud.
I can live with that.
Okay.
I'm really torn as a UGA fan on what I actually want to happen this weekend, to be honest with you. And I know this goes against everything that UGA believers feel. And I know when we get, I got two Jones?
Joanne, I think. Maybe it's Joan, but we got two Joannes. 171, 174. I believe the young lady is a dog fan.
Okay.
And the old lady is a Tech fan.
I think older. This is Joanne older. Yeah. I think this is Joanne. Are you a UGA fan?
I am.
Okay. And you're 71 years old?
I'm 71. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Uh-huh.
Now, Joanne, here's our feeling on this is that if you're an old school UGA fan, there's a different kind of passion, a burning desire.
Oh, you bet there is.
For your school than there would be somebody in their 20s or 30s because they just haven't lived the highs and lows the way you have.
Well, that's true.
With this team. There must have been some years where it was crushing to lose to Georgia Tech and other years that you were just absolutely elated, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And my condolences on Uga.
Yes. All right, poor thing.
So as you're remembering back now, you've been a UGA fan for how long now?
30 years.
30
years.
Both
my daughters graduated from there.
Okay. Do you remember your first UGA game that you attended?
I've never been able to attend one because we could never get tickets.
In 30 years, you've never been able to go?
But I never missed a game on television. My daughter comes from Georgia every year, and if she can't get tickets, she goes and just waits around and tries to buy one and usually always gets in. But she and her husband live in Knoxville, and he's a Tennessee fan, but he went to Georgia. But she's got both her kids brainwashed, and they're both Georgia fans.
All right.
That's great. I'm sorry. Your son-in-law is a Tennessee fan, but he went to Georgia?
He went to Georgia, yes.
Okay.
Melissa here is a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, I'm a Tennessee grad, yeah.
We've got something else in common.
All right, so now, so as you've been watching for the last 30 years,
right,
what has been the most heartbreaking part of being a Dogs fan and the best part of being a Dogs fan?
Well, the most heartbreaking part would be when they would lose and, you know, come so close, because I think they've beat Georgia Tech more times than Georgia's beat them.
Certainly
or
has felt
when
like
they beat Georgia.
Like the last decade, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I know I'm going to lose you here. I'm a UGA fan also. I didn't graduate from the school, and I've only been following them for about 8 years.
Oh, really?
But the sports fan in me almost wants them to lose this weekend. Here's why. I know. I feel like if we sacrifice this weekend, it's better for the future, because maybe we'll get rid of that crappy defensive coordinator.
Oh, well, I got you there, but I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah,
You
can't wrap your mind around Georgia losing to Georgia Tech and that being a good thing.
And I still have high hopes for him this week.
And that's the difference between her and someone who has only been a fan for 8 years. It's like you said, that different, like, it's ingrained in her. There's no way she could ever say, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a different level of fandom there, for sure. Okay, so let's get our Georgia Tech fan on with us also. Good morning, Georgia Tech fan. What's your name?
I'm Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you.
All right, Joanne, you are how old?
I am 74.
Okay. 74. And you have been following Georgia Tech for how long?
Oh, since I was probably 18 with my father.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Great.
Did you attend Georgia Tech?
No, sir, I didn't, and all my children attended Georgia.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
my favorite teams in the world is Georgia Tech and whoever plays Georgia.
I love it.
There we go.
I love it.
And this is where we were hoping this was going to go.
Uh-huh.
Because we wanted to get two people that have been watching and been fans of their respective teams for as long as you guys have.
Well, you must have been disappointed quite a bit.
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Well, I also want to say to Joanne, because we spent so much time on UGA, that Joanne, congratulations on Georgia Tech being ranked number 7 in the country
this
year.
Isn't that wonderful? And I have a pen I was trying to find. I think we have, over the decades, we have 4 championships. I don't think Georgia has that.
She's kind of stats lined up.
We beat Georgia more than they've beat us, too.
Joan, do you want to stick up for Georgia here a little bit?
I don't know. For my 30 years, I think Georgia's been, UGA has been more dominant.
They may have been more dominant, but we have the best coach in the world right now. NFL and become
stars like Hines Ward and those.
We have stars like Joe Hamilton.
I never heard of him.
Oh, he was our quarterback. Let me see. What was the one last year that beat you? and this year we are going to slaughter you.
That's the consensus. And let me tell you something.
I have a family business. And all the guys in here are Georgia, except for one, and he's Kentucky. So he came in really going full this Monday morning.
Well, we just have to wait and see, because I have hopes for Georgia. They're going to come to the forefront this time.
I don't think they're going to make it Saturday. If they do, they'll have to bury me, probably.
That's Georgia Tech Joanne right there.
I get so nervous when they're playing, I can't even watch sometimes when
sometimes
the game's closed. I have to turn
game.
It to something else.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I've won a little money on them this year.
How much money have you won on Georgia Tech, Joanne?
I bet $100 even.
Okay.
She's a betting woman.
I'm a betting woman.
You believe in your team.
You either win or you lose.
Hey,
I don't give any points or take any. So,
Joan, there has to have been years past where Georgia Tech was heavily favored like they are this year, but Georgia won, right?
Right.
Right.
And if that happens this year, I'll just die. I have my Georgia Tech on my desk with hanging the bulldog over a,
cool.
I don't know whether it's flea, flea
cool.
dip, what it is. Flea
dip.
Flea
dip.
Now, Joanne, I want you just to—I want you to prepare yourself because, like I said, I mean,
I'm trying to prepare myself for it.
Oh my!
There is a chance that I mean, come this
there
weekend,
there is a chance that Joe Cox might have a good game. Oh. But it's like my Kentucky fan said, Joe Cox was the best Kentucky player Saturday.
Oh God! Joan, you got to help us out here.
Come on, come on. Tell her she hasn't been in the construction business for 70 years and with all these young men that went to Georgia and are Georgia fans, and they walk in here with their faces really down this year. Their faces are really down. They don't
well,
even want to come
year,
into my
but what
office.
What about all those sad years you've had?
Do what?
You've had all those sad years. You can gloat this year, but you still haven't won yet.
But I still managed
still
to get through
won
them.
You still haven't won yet.
With my head held high.
Well,
I have a big Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket stuffed animal sitting in the corner of my desk.
I think, but you know,
don't have any help. Your children went to UGA. My children went to UGA, and they're still fans.
Well, my Georgia guys are too. My Georgia son.
Yeah, but you're all by yourself.
But he pulls for Georgia Tech when they're not playing Georgia.
Well, that's their their problem.
But, we got to give them. We got to give them each a pair, and then talk to them on Monday.
Yeah,
put them next to each other.
Well, I'll probably be if we lose, I'll probably let them bring me in a casket Monday.
Oh, don't say that.
Let them go ahead and cremate.
Georgia Tech, Joanne, why is this game? I mean, is this one that you're putting so much weight in this one? Is it because that they've been
been so good this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they deserve
it. It's really been good. And I think our coach is fabulous.
Yeah, all points. I mean, the pressure
is
on Georgia
Tech. So is our coach.
Yeah.
We have a great coach. That's the reason why we get the players we get. But we just
what
have,
players
just
do you
have
get,
a bad
darling?
Year. Everybody
I
gets
would
a bad year.
But I won't.
Hey, Georgia Tech, Joanne, what do you think about Mark Richt, the UGA coach?
I think Mark Richt is just too blah.
Oh, my goodness.
He has no excitement.
Man has character.
No, it's not character when you're a football coach.
Oh.
You don't need
yes,
that
it
much
is.
Character
and
as
believe
a football
me.
Coach. You need some fire and get behind those players. You see, when Tech was losing the other week, when in halftime, what'd they do? They came back and won because he put some fire in them. I don't think Coach Richt can put fire in them like.
You don't have to have fire. You can still have a lot of character and get the same job done. He just doesn't have the players that he's had.
I don't think so. I love a fiery coach.
That's the difference between Georgia and Georgia Tech, right?
Right. I love a fiery coach. All the coaches are fiery except for Mark Richt.
Well, the bottom line is, I don't like that. The bottom line is it's going to be a great game.
I hope so.
And
I hope the best man wins.
Yeah,
and I hope
Georgia
it's me.
They've been saving up all this year for it, and I think they're going to really come to the forefront.
I think it's our turn now. We're going to take the next seven.
Well, here's what we're going to do for you guys. Georgia's own wants to give both you guys tickets to the game this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so
right
Joan, UGA Joan, this is going
to
be the first time that you see a UGA game in 30 years.
Good for you.
So we're going to make sure you're there. And Joanne, we've got tickets for you, too, if you want to go to the game this weekend as well. And we'll sit you guys right next to each other.
No. I have enough arguments when I go to the Braves when a Mets fan shows up. So I don't want to have a Georgia fan sitting by me.
That's funny.
No, I wouldn't want that.
So, Joanne, are you saying that you would rather turn down the tickets than sit next to a UGA fan?
No.
Wouldn't go that far.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, so you both want the tickets.
I love the tickets.
Do I have to go?
Well, what else would you do with them?
She gets a better angle at home with her TV.
Can I give them to a granddaughter?
Sure,
that's
you can.
I was thinking about doing giving to my daughter, but I'd go if I had to.
I don't think my daughter would just take two
blood pressure pills if I went.
All right, listen.
I'd rather watch it on TV. All right. I can yell and cuss and do whatever I want.
Well, how about this? What if we gave you 4 tickets each, and then you could bring your granddaughter, whoever you want, but you guys could still go.
My daughter.
Your daughter.
Mm-hmm. So, Joan, we will give you 4 tickets, and we'll give Joanne 4 tickets also to the game.
Goodness.
Oh my God.
You are wonderful. I listen to you. I might be old, but I listen to you every morning.
Thank you very much.
But we got to, when we put you on hold, this is going to sound really crazy, but Joan and Joanne, give Joanna your information.
Right.
And we're going to call you on Monday morning because we want to recap how the game went.
Okay. What if I don't go?
We still want to talk to you.
Yeah, still like to talk to you. Yeah, especially. Okay. Yeah, because
you want to make me feel bad if I lose. Is that what you're saying?
I personally probably will, yes.
Okay.
I can promise you that.
Okay.
Hold on, you guys. Thank you very much, both of you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you. Enjoy talking to all of you.
Y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, guys. All right, so that's Joan. She's 71 years old. Big old UGA fan, but had never been to a game. Now she's going. And you've got Joanne. She's 74 years old from Georgia Tech, and she is ready for a big time win this weekend.
She's fiery.
That's awesome.
She's fiery. She's ready. It's your Georgia fight song, and we can't forget our Georgia Tech students from a couple of years ago.
I'm a Randall Wreck from Georgia Tech, a hell of an engineer. I'm a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. I'm a rambling, gambling, hell of an engineer. Hey!
Do-do!
Go Jackets! Fight! Win! Drink! Get naked!
The Bird Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Bird Show.
Jen, you missed this yesterday, but man, I was really, really, really enlightened by a conversation that we had at the very end of the show yesterday.
Okay. Mm.
I don't think as a guy we possibly know, can possibly understand, I'm starting to get it now, the struggle that women have with diet and food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on my theory yesterday. I told these guys I was going to be cutting a healthy trim spot, and in it I was going to put, forget about healthy trim for the next 4 days. Forget about your diet for the next 4 days. Forget about picking and choosing what you're going to eat and what you're not going to eat, just to give yourself a mental break. You know, just to give yourself 4 days of—
indulge.
And totally indulge and take the pressure off of yourself. And I thought, you know, then next week, worry about it, but at least give yourself 4 days where you can completely forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa and Wendy told me yesterday that there's this inner dialogue constantly going on in a woman's mind that won't let her, allow her to do that. It's like not even a possibility for most women.
Yeah, because I think the message got confused yesterday, because it's not that we don't indulge on Thanksgiving, but there's chatter in our brain the whole time we're doing it, because I said there's a bartering going on, because, you know, I told him that there are women this week that are either fasting, cleansing, you know, eating just salads, doing something to prepare for game day, you know, Thanksgiving day and the leftovers. And then I said, you know, when you're sitting at the table, there's the thought, well, should I have that extra roll if I want a piece of, you know, pumpkin pie, or, you know, let me not eat so much stuffing if I want it. You know, so even when you're trying to indulge yourself, there's a part of you that's always telling yourself, what, you know, should I not? And it just never goes away.
And I think you also feel like other people are judging your plateful.
Really? Yes. Even at Thanksgiving dinner?
Uh-huh.
Like family members?
Well, yeah, because you always want to pack your plate full, but you don't want to, like, seem too, like, you're too eager to eat that much food. I don't know. It, like, because if you look like you have a plate full, you look like a pig. And you don't, girls don't want to
see. Like other people are judging how many, like, oh, really? You're going to have another scoop of those mashed potatoes? It's really your inner voice, but you think other people are doing it.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If we're using logic here, the only reason why you think people are doing that to you is because you're doing it to them.
Sometimes.
Because nobody has ever said to you, boy, that's a lot of food on your plate right there. One of your girlfriends or family members has never said that. So
I think
you
some
must
mothers
think,
would say it to daughters.
Mother, yeah, mom would say it.
Have the three of you ever had a family member or friend say that?
I don't.
Oh,
I
yeah,
don't,
Millie Peter to Millie Peter say it like it is. Yeah, she because it's, it, even because especially if you have brought up that you're so it, like if you vocalize in our family, if you vocalize the fact that you're, you know, a little concerned about your weight, or I really need, you know what, I really need to shape up or get into better shape, then Millie Pete will, well, are you going to have a second helping of potatoes? Shouldn't you have this instead? So it's not usually, she's not usually a tyrant when it comes to, she's not food police unless you give her permission to be.
It's not even necessarily what I'm hearing is, and I really feel like I'm on the outside hearing all this for the first time. It doesn't sound like food police to me, but it does sound like women are judging each other all the time on their food habits. Like you guys just said, you're watching your friends eat
it's
and
not
you're
just
taking
other
in.
Women. If you're judgmental of yourself and the food that you're intaking and you're body conscious or whatever, you're judging other people on other things that they eat all the time too.
Really?
But I think
this is such a woman conversation because in a guy's world, this is non-existent.
But the thing is, you have to understand that women are judged mostly on their looks all the time. And guys judge women on their looks all the time. So it is, you know, it's not just a woman thing and that's all she's ever doing. But this is the result of always, you know, and I don't know which comes first. If women judge other women, men judge women, I don't know, wherever it came from. The culture now is our biggest asset is our looks. And so that the result of that is the fact that we're always conscious of that and we're always trying to maintain it. And then if we go over, because last night Katie and I were watching Biggest Loser and we were judging, like what we said last night was depending on a woman's body type, of course. So each woman is different. But on average, we were trying to calculate what is the weight a woman would have to get to before she mentally gave up. So we were watching Biggest Loser last night and we said if a woman gets to 200 pounds, so we thought if a woman got up to 200 that is struggling, you know, let me clarify that if you're struggling, you're always worried. If you got up to 200 pounds, that is when some women would give up and they're like, you know what, I can't maintain anymore. And then they may overindulge and forget about it and feel sorry for themselves.
Because it seems like such a large amount to lose that you're just like, I can't do it, so
I can't
you give
do it
up.
Anymore. Yes, like if your ideal body weight, and again, and yesterday, Jim, when we talked about this, I mainly said I think it's this may be a white woman thing. This may not be, you know, any a white woman thing is what I'm thinking of. So if a white woman is struggling with her weight, and I know, you know, friends and family members and everybody that struggles, whether they're skinny or not, if they got to 200, it would be like, you know, well, that's when they start, when the real self-esteem issues come into play. But if your ideal body weight's 140, you know, and you're at 160, you think, well, you're just only 20 pounds. I can do this. But if you get up 200, then you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Kind of in the towel kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I posted that on Facebook yesterday, the question that I asked you guys. What I wrote was, my suggestion for Thanksgiving weekend would be to totally and completely forget about diet. Eat whatever you want. Give yourself a mental break. Wendy and Melissa say women aren't capable of doing that. Agree or disagree? And the word that came up more than any other is regret and remorse. Like, Jesslyn Kelly says, when I do that, I always get a feeling of regret. Aaron Ross says, I'm going to eat whatever I want, but I will definitely feel guilty about it. Ashley Ray said, I agree. That can be difficult for women. Sounds good, but easier said than done. Another one says the same thing. You can do that, but you'll always have that feeling of regret, so you can never really enjoy what you're eating. Even if you know you're overindulging, you're saying to yourself, there's a payoff for this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you're always trying to get down to your ideal weight that you want to be, and then when you eat, you of course you want to indulge on Thanksgiving and have all the food, but once you eat it, you know you're not going to get to that weight that you want, so you do feel bad. You feel bad about eating all that food, but it's not until the next day.
I think every woman suffers from an eating disorder. I mean, because we always talk about eating disorders when they're bulimic and they're anorexic. But I think that this is so abusive to ourselves because I'm thinking of the chatter I had the other day about, because I'm a huge, I mean, I'm bad about eating sugar. I love sugar, chocolate, anything chocolate. So I know that now I try to regulate myself to where if I'm going to have, like, indulge myself in some dessert, that I'll do it one time a day. So at lunch the other day.
So you don't have dessert after breakfast and after lunch? Because that's really what the holidays are all about. Dessert after
But I'm telling
every
you,
meal.
I'm being honest with you, that I had dessert at lunch, and then Katie wanted to go to dinner, and I thought to myself, you know, like dumbass, you ate dessert at lunch. You could have had a nice dinner with Katie where you could have not worried about eating dessert at I mean, in my mind, who cares if I eat two
constantly
desserts in a day?
Beating yourself
but
up.
That's what I beat myself up. And then I just realized that that's self-abuse, you know?
Let me just interject here just for 1 second that not avoiding them, but there's one call that keeps coming in over and over and over again mm-hmm. that I just haven't put on, but I want to acknowledge, and that's this is a white woman's problem.
That's right, yeah.
And that's coming mm-hmm. in quite a bit, so I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Well, I also think that the on the opposite side of that is not eating in moderation and eating emotionally and overeating is also an eating disorder. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, the policing ourselves to the point of making ourselves regretful and remorseful and guilty and all that kind of stuff isn't healthy, but I also think diving for the bag of chips or the cupcakes or the cakes or, you know, all of the junk food or you know, the fast food drive-through every time we have an emotional stress or, you know, something's not going well or, you know, you're on your cycle and it's up and down and you're hungrier that week or whatever. I don't think that's healthy either. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that one way or the other is necessarily the way to go.
Here's Laura. Good morning, Laura. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. Love you guys. How
Thank
you.
How are you?
I am fabulous. I am very, very fabulous.
Good. What's up?
I'm just going to spill it out. 235 pounds.
Uh-huh.
235 pounds. White girl. Love myself. Have been for over 10 years. I don't struggle with anything. I enjoy food. I love it. I meet men who love it, who love both me and food, and it's awesome.
What's your secret? Because I think you're in the minority.
Confident. Like, no, you just look at yourself in the mirror and go, you know what? This is what God gave me, and I love it. And don't struggle. I mean, just love it.
Good for you. I mean, I think that's rare.
It's warm in the wintertime. You ain't got to worry about that. There's beautiful clothes out there if you go find them. Have a little style. You know, have a great amount of confidence. Smile is your best feature anyway on anybody's face. Who wants a miserable, skinny girl? I have a girl I work with who's 20 years old and is miserable. She's she tells me she's got bad body image, and she's skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad. I feel so, and I try to get her to eat. It's hysterically funny. And I feel so bad for her.
You just walk back and forth with bacon in front of her and cake.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know. And I cook all the meals. When we do meals, I do all the meals at work. They hate me when I bring food in because they can't help themselves. And I just feed them.
In some ways, they must love you, but in other ways, they must hate you also.
It is love hate. And I accept that. And I'm good with that. And I win more battles. I'm going to win the war, but I win more battles than I lose with the food with them. So.
Do you think it upsets some women around you that you're that confident of being 235 pounds?
Well, they've never shown it, but, I mean, and for being the older one out of the group, I mean, for them to give me the compliments I get, it's not every day, trust me. I always get surprised when they do, like, you know, because out of the blue it's like, oh, I think you're this, I think you're that. But then again, maybe I'm an example. So I guess I try to be that, too, to some extent, because I am much older than a lot of these other girls.
Well, it's probably a combination of they admire you, but they would never let themselves. They're like, that's awesome. I'm so glad for her.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still this fear in their mind to be 235.
They hear how I date. They said, you date more than me, too. I switched over to a different site, a different dating site. I get hits. I get usually a minimum of 4 hits. Every day I wake up, I turn that thing on, and there's 4 hits. And I'm just like, wow, okay. And they love, in fact, I'm almost skinny on this website. I'm right in the middle.
I want to say something that you guys might beat me up about. Do you think that some of these women use you like you're almost doing more harm than good around these women, because the message that they may see is, here's a woman that's completely confident with how she eats,
mm-hmm.
but she's 235 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't eat like that because I don't want to be 235 pounds.
I might be a reminder for them to go to the gym every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine with me. I don't care.
You're good with you. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Good for
that's
you.
That's awesome.
Good for you. Thank you
and
for
I'm
coming.
And I'm going to eat like crazy next couple of days, and I hope everybody else does too.
Well,
good for you.
Based on what I saw, it's almost not possible to do that. Like, At some point, you're going to have, there is going to be a governor in your mind saying you're not allowed to have one more piece of pie that you'd really like to have.
At some point, it's always there. It's,
today,
at some, too? At some point, you got to push it back. Yeah.
Well, just so you know, I got breakfast for us all today, and those are low-fat grits, and there are zero calories in the biscuits, and the eggs are, those are all egg whites.
Perfect, yes.
Perfect.
So and I don't think it's a good thing, but I think it is just, it's just so ingrained. It's a shame that... I think we trip ourselves up so much because we're so consumed by this that we lose focus on other things, you know?
Hey, Kelly, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys, I love you guys. Jeff, I love your humor. I'm a northerner, too, and it just makes me want to listen every day just to see what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is for Melissa. I heard you talking about that little guy in your head.
Uh-huh.
I used to be a professional athlete. I swam in high school and college, and then I went on and did triathlons, and issue because you know, this body that I could eat anything because I was going to go out and run or swim it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now as a mom, I had some children. I gained the weight and I got to be that person over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I want to go back to work. So I went back to work and I'm in this office with about a dozen women. All they do is talk about what you're saying. They talk about worrying about their weight and doing everything and they eat and they talk about it, but I don't see anybody doing anything. So my suggestion was I went to the doctor and he told me not to worry about dieting, just to try to eat a little more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't go crazy. Like don't splurge, like, trying to get rid of everything, because he said, like, when you do that, then you're starving yourself, or you're mentally starving yourself, and your brain wants to kick in and eat. And I'll tell you this, I've lost about 75 pounds just eating the right kind of things, and not like, I'm not a health food person. I eat Dunkin' Donuts in the mornings, you know, if I want a donut, you know. Now I might not do donuts at 5 days a week, I might only do donut twice a week, but I give myself that, and it's made me a happier person, and it's also helped me maintain my weight.
But yeah, like, I mean, I'm not like obsessed with dieting, and I'm not like trying to do anything. My point is that it doesn't matter whether I was my ideal weight or not. The chatter's still there.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem is that it doesn't matter what size you are. You know, it's always this thing in your head, you know, but... and I think it's sad that women are constantly stressed by that.
Because you are happier when you're a little fluffier.
Are you?
Yes. Like, it just in general... Like, I look at the pictures from when I was getting divorced, and dang, I looked good. I was so skinny, but I was so miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, like, you know, it's fast forward 2 years, like, yeah, I probably put on 5 or 10 pounds since then, but I'm a hell of a lot happier.
You can't define you as fluffy. The way, are you saying right now this is fluffy, Jen?
Yes,
you're
but
not
I can
fluffy
feel
Jen.
It in my jeans. You know what I'm saying? All women can feel it in their clothes. You know, you've got your own scale or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, when I was at my thinnest, in the last 10 years, I was at my most miserable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But hey, I looked good in those photos, but I was like miserable underneath. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just be happy with the extra weight.
Hey, The Bird Show.